the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Nice.
Yes, that is real cashmere. I'm not gonna send you no sloppy seconds. Nobody that's on the edge, right, Brains?
Huh? That's right.
No, she never been here before, okay? Because I treat you good right here on the edge with April Mahoney. Today, our guest, look at that. What? Boom, 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 boom. right there, cutie patootie. That is Tina Ruffa. And we're gonna have a really spirited conversation about a lot of things. I want to name this show Beauty and the Badge. She has a previous experience in law enforcement. I want to ask her a few questions about that. I want to ask her about her work with Mary Kay and how she's so pretty in pink. But also, she's a recovering alcoholic of 15 years. And we want to talk about that too. So, again, it's a lot to cover in 30 minutes. Get ready, Brains. Tell them you're in the middle of an interview on the end. I'll call you back.
That's right. I am busy. I am busy.
So thank you so much for being here with us. Tell my Brains a little bit more about you and Deb.
Yes. I have been in law enforcement for about 20 years, and I've been a Mary Kay beauty consultant for 1 year. I am 15 years in sobriety, is recovering alcoholic, and I have been very lucky to be very successful. However, I haven't always been that way. I've been through a lot of trials in my life, and now I've got a message to share, you know, with millions of people.
All about it. So let's go back to the beginning.
Yes.
Let's go back 15 years to your days of alcoholism.
Yeah.
There's such a stigma around women with drugs and alcohol. You know, when you see a woman that's out of control, it's ugly. You know,
yes.
Men carry themselves a different way.
But, yes.
You know, women hide. They have children. There's shame associated with it, or they just don't identify. They suppress trauma. There's a whole lot of reasons that women drink.
Yeah.
How did you, let's do this. Let's start at the breaking point. What was your breaking point, and then what was your aha moment to your awakening?
My breaking point, I would say my alcoholism hit its peak when I lost custody of my son. He was about 8 years old then. I lost custody of my son. House was repossessed, you know, I lost my house, the car was repossessed, but losing custody of my son really made me wake up and pay attention. He's my most precious person in the world to me.
So did you go through like a recovery program, or did you just do a cold turkey?
I went to a program called Narcotics Anonymous first. I landed there first. It was extremely helpful. And then I switched to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's where I found my home. I was in and out of a day treatment program, they call it, I believe, in Loma Linda. It's an excellent program. And really, in Alcoholics Anonymous is where I found myself.
You know, I'm just trying to get in the head of a person that might be going through this right now. Did you have a pattern? Was there a certain time that you drank? Was there a certain drink that you drank? Was it all day drinking? Were you sneaking drinking at work? What were you doing?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think I had a problem. I only had a couple drinks a day. However, when I went to treatment, they said, "Well, how big was your glass?" I was like, "It was a big 64-ounce."
Girl, you wait a minute. You was drinking a giant slushy a day.
Yeah, a couple of them. And that was a wake-up call. Like,
what was your drink of choice? What was your drink of choice?
It was the tequila rum and something else. Margaritas, basically. It was a margarita.
Bless your heart. Bless your
heart. It was over 20 years ago, so I'm like, oh, I can't remember.
Well, good, because you want to block that out. But then again, you want to block it out, but then that makes you the woman that you are today, because now you have that awakening. So what happened in recovery that just really made you, you know, say, I've had enough of this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, when I showed up to the recovery program and I heard other people sharing my story, and these people said, welcome home. And they wrapped their arms around me. And I never felt a love like I felt there. And I found a family that I never had there. And they basically taught me what about the disease of alcoholism. And they showed me, they really led me by the hand and showed me how to work the 12 steps. And I got a sponsor. And the sponsor was really critical in leading me through back to my son and regaining custody of my son and my relationship with him. And at the end of my alcoholism, I was very suicidal, didn't want to be here anymore. That was I really, by the grace of God, it is that I'm here, because I did try to take my own life, you know, several times. And so that was the end of the road for me too. I mean, when I lost my son, I didn't feel like I had anything left.
Well, you did have everything left. You had a career in law enforcement. Were you hiding this and doing that at the same time? Were you co-mingling?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. I was, you know, going out drinking, and I was making really poor choices. I was in trouble at work, and you know, I was on the sick list. I never showed up.
What?
Yeah.
I just was, you know, hell, if you're drinking, you know, a couple 64 ounces, you wouldn't show up, okay? I don't want you driving, doing any of that. You were doing way too much. All right, let me ask you a couple questions about law enforcement, you know, just kind of overall, because I don't understand. And I have a G card. That's a ghetto card. Yes, I have a ghetto PhD brains, but I've never been arrested, thank God. I've never seen the inside of a cell, you know, never had to talk to a detective, none of that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, I know. Not even no, that doesn't count when I served my jury duty. But anyway, when a person is taken into custody, I want to ask you a couple questions. Taken into custody, say a police officer, because I'm trying to give my brains an idea of what's going on in the world and to have put it in context. And they say that they are in protective custody. What does that mean? Does that mean that they're, you know, they're booked and they're put in isolation or solitary confinement, or, you know, they got a back office they put them in? What does that look like for a high profile guest?
Sure. Yeah, protective custody means they're placed in a segregated area that is for protective custody. So, and they do not mingle with general population inmates. However, I believe that's going away today. They're going to do away with that, as they already have at several institutions.
But so that means that if a high profile guest gets in, they can go into gen pop? They can go with general population now?
I believe they can.
Wow. But, that'll get their mind right.
I'd have to double check that. I
don't know, because everything, legislation is changing every second. But that will get your mind right. Because when you're sitting there and you kind of in a cushy little office on the side because you've, you know, a Harvey Weinstein, you got a whole lot of money, or you're a, you know, a political person, or you're a police officer, you get segregated. But you get in the mix, okay, on the real deal, it's not pretty. Okay, can you explain to me what solitary confinement is? I had a guest on my show, Cece Espew, and she was in solitary confinement for 2 years. She said she kept the lights on the whole time.
Oh.
Now, what is it? What is a situation for solitary confinement? Do you have any idea what that might look like?
You know, I wasn't in, I did not work in those areas.
Oh, okay.
luckily, but you know, my impression of solitary confinement is single cell. You know, they're in one cell. I've seen this. I've seen the areas, and they have a cell all by themselves. Very close, you know, small quarters, one bunk, you know, one locker, and they're in that cell all by themselves, you know.
Now, comparing one to the other, being in protective custody or being in solitary confinement, where you were in your alcoholic down spiral, where would you have found yourself?
Yeah, luckily I didn't end up in custody.
I mean, just as a metaphor. As a metaphor,
yeah, I would have been in solitary confinement. I ended up alone and in a very, very dark place, you know. And protective custody, you're protected. You're with other people. You're protected from danger, right? You know?
And away from the danger of yourself. So yeah. Now you go through all of this and you find beauty.
Yeah.
How did you find the Pretty in Pink with Mary Kay?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I was very by accident. A very, very close girlfriend of mine. Yeah, I'm a little warm too. Very close girlfriend of mine. She said, "Will you support me and come to my Mary Kay party?" And I was like, "Mary Kay? That older lady that drove around in a pink Cadillac, is that still around?"
Wait, but let me tell you something about Mary Kay. Mary Kay was my idol, okay? And the reason why,
yeah,
I've never been a Mary Kay consultant either, but it is just absolutely wonderful. She taught a woman that you can have a business and that you can have a family. You can have your own money. I will reward you. I will recognize you. I will encourage you. I mean, just, she was phenomenal, and she did it forever. And those pink Cadillacs, she is just really, really on the cutting edge. I'm sorry that she's, you know, she's passed away, but her legacy will live on. What is the world of Mary Kay like now? Is it still a lot of team building? Still have great products? Because it's a different business model now, you know, applying applications and makeup is, you know, or exfoliants. That's really not the thing now. So give me an idea of how you guys are selling and moving product and building teams in this environment.
Yeah, actually her business model, her marketing plan, my impression is it has not ever changed. It's still the same as it was when she started. And we just had to change the method, how we do things, since the we can't go into people's homes right now. So we do facials on Zoom right now. We do everything from home. It's great. Like, say I wanted to invite you to try the product line. Every Monday night I have a facial party. And if you wanted to attend, I would send you what I call a pink pack full of all the fun stuff that we're going to use. And we get on Zoom and I literally wash my face with you and I lead you through the process of trying all the products.
That's fun. And you can bring your own wine and snacks, brains.
Yeah, we have prizes for the cutest pajamas. Yeah.
Wow. Now that's fun. We have to be innovative. It's changed, you know, and that business model, like back in the day, it was Avon and Tupperware. Brains, you remember Crystal House, Princess House Crystal?
Princess House.
Yeah. So all these things have really been a way for women to generate a little side hustle, a little revenue. But it also has been a great team builder for me, for you. Tell me a little bit about your experience with working with your team and working with your upline. How does that motivate you?
Oh, team building is my favorite. Yeah, thank you. When I first started with Mary Kay, I didn't know anything about team building, just to back up a little bit. But I only signed up so that I could get my product at such a great price. I love the product, but
get the hookups. I want to get the deals.
Yes. And then I was invited to a Mary Kay seminar. They have it every June. It's either June or July. But I was invited to a Mary Kay seminar where I actually learned about Mary Kay and team building. And I learned about Mary Kay's mission to help women, empower women. Like you said, like you mentioned, she wanted to change the world, you know, one woman at a time.
She was really.
And she said, "I need your help to do that." And when I heard that, I was her message, I was like, I'm in. You know, I have a heart for women. I want to help women. I just didn't know how I was going to do that, you know? And so now makeup is my vehicle.
Well, that's wonderful. Because you're really pretty.
Oh, thank you.
On you, it looks good on you. Yeah, there's been a lot of great women in the cosmetic industry because putting on a pretty face and a pretty tube of lipstick makes you feel good. What are the colors for the season now? What are you guys featuring as far as maybe lip pop? Now that we'll be back out in public, we want to, you know, have our lips looking pretty and pouty.
That's right. We have a lot of lipsticks to choose from. There's three different categories. You know, there's semi-shine and shiny and no shine, you know, matte lipsticks and all different colors. You know, we got pinks and crushed berries and corals and really pretty plums. You know, there's a ton of different colors, and lip glosses are my favorite.
On the average, what does lip stick cost? And the reason why I ask brains is because I was in the cosmetic industry, and baby, I got so much gratis, I'll probably have lipstick until the day I die. But yeah. What is a tube of lipstick now? I know I went into Nordstrom's one time. They're selling lipstick for $25 a tube.
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's more, you know, the top shelf one, but that's top. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Average lipstick now, like $10, $12.
Mary Kay is more middle of the road. Our lipsticks retail at $18.
Okay. But I mean, you know, it's good in emollient. It'll last you. It's not just, you know, you lick it off. I was just wondering what that is. So now, let me ask you, with all that you've been through.
I'm so sorry. How do I keep that from happening? I am so sorry.
Don't worry about it. We can edit that out.
So I put my phone in airplane mode and it didn't work.
No, it won't. You got to put it on silent mode on the side of your phone. There's a little.
I got it on that.
Yeah. So if you put it on there, you got to be careful because you'd be looking for a phone call and then you can't get it. All right. Anyway, let's go back.
Yes.
So Tina, tell me, after all that you have been through, the good, the bad, the ugly, the solitary confinement, the metaphor, also the protective custody, the losing of your son, regaining it back, and Mary Kay, drinking. What has all of this taught you about life and how to be a better person?
Yeah, what all this has taught me about life, what's such a great question that is that no matter who we are, we all have something that we are carrying. We all have been through something, and no matter what our experience is, we can always use that experience, no matter what it was, to benefit someone else. And I believe that there were so many people that helped me out of my darkness that I'm indebted to help others get out of their darkness too. And it's taught me that no matter what we've been through, that it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, I was being an alcoholic is embarrassing. Losing custody of my child is embarrassing. I was a victim of child sexual abuse and physical abuse, emotional abuse. I have a lot of embarrassing things in my past that I was unable to talk about. And so I feel, and when you look at me, you wouldn't think I've been through all that. And I'm hoping to give women, inspire women that happened to me. And if that happened to you, you know, you can get through it too. And there's a reason. You can have a purpose come out of that. You know, you can help other women out of that darkness.
And put some pretty pink lipstick on them at the same time. So
yeah. And that, speaking of that, I want to tell you the pretty pink lipstick is I also struggle with depression, believe it or not.
Oh,
I do. And but being in Mary Kay, because it gives me a reason to get up and put my makeup on every day, do my hair, you know, because I've got customers to take care of. I mean, I can't be helping them with rolling out of bed with a depressed face, you know. It gives me a reason to keep going.
Well, you know, again, she's wonderful. She gave a lot of women reason and revenue at the same time. tell my brains how to get in contact with you, because your message is so passionate. It's resonating with people, and I know that you're a coach. So tell them how to get in contact with you if they want to send you an email, or if you have an online group, or if you have a website.
I have all of that, yes. Online, my name is Tina Raffa dash Walter Scheid, but if you plug in Raffa, R-A-F-F-A, you can find me online on Facebook, on Instagram, and I have a business phone number that is the best to reach me, and the quickest is 909.
Wait. Don't cut that out. I never give phone.
Okay. Phone number. Okay.
You get some creepy people. That's why I said an email. You know, that way you can block them out. Okay, so hold on. Give me a second.
Mm-hmm. I want to hold up my book, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Get your book.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, I mailed you one, by the way.
Okay.
Yours is on the way.
Cool. Okay, let me see. So now when you put your book up, I want you to put it and hold it. No, bring it a little bit closer. And give people an opportunity to see it, because a lot of times people just doing it like this and you're not going to do it. Okay, so at the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Tina, you know, you have been through so much and you have such a passionate, compassionate story. You've written a book. In addition to that, you have a coaching practice. Please tell my brain. Let me see your book first. Let's do that. Yeah. Let me see your book. Ooh, hold it up. Oh, okay. Woman Who Illuminates.
Yes.
All right. So tell me a little bit about that. What's inside those pages? What did you say?
Inside these magic pages is 30 stories from 30 amazing women. I got to be one of them. It's a collaboration of stories by women who have gotten through something that have helped them carry their message into the world. And my chapter is called The Magic of Sobriety. The magic that I found in getting sober. It's my exact story of what happened to me with alcoholism, the darkness of it, and how I got out and what I learned from it, and how it's helped me today to become the woman that I am today.
Well, you're a superstar. And so you've taken all of this life experience, put it inside the pages of the book, but you've also created a coaching practice. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you. Maybe they want to send an email. Maybe they're interested in some Mary Kay. Maybe they need some new lipstick. You know, get in contact with Tina Raffa.
Yes, you can get in contact with me through email at raffaenterprises@yahoo.com. And that's R-A-F-F, like Frank, A, enterprises@yahoo.com. I do recovery coaching. I sell Mary Kay. I speak, I write, I do a lot of things.
Yeah, well, she's a very, very wonderful person. And I'm so glad that you found the light at the end of the tunnel and it wasn't a train.
Yes, me too.
And thank you for being so, you know, heart-centered, sharing your story, your compassion with us, because it's really helped somebody. There's a sister out there that is just hanging on for dear life and just needs to know that she's not alone. Right. And that she can turn to a great person like you and listen to your story and know that if you made it through, that she can make it through too.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Friends, go subscribe to everything. Okay. I know you hit the subscribe button. You have to. You keep coming back, and then you don't want to subscribe. Really? That's not showing me much love, and I've got big love for you. Thank you so much. Tina is sending us a copy of her book. We are going to put it in the monthly swag box, bang, $300 value. On the edge, you know how we roll in and out all the time, round and round. We keep it moving for you because we love you. Tina, again, thank you, and I wish you well, baby.
You too.
Bye-bye.